Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. On Money FM 89.3, The Washington Report with Nirmal Ghosh, U.S. Bureau Chief with the Straits Times.
Money FM 89.3, you're in the breakfast huddle with Elliot Danker and Manisha Tank. Ryan's back with some finance headlines just after half past the hour.
U.S. lawmakers are returning to Congress today from a two-week Easter recess, and attention is turning into President Joe Biden's $2.2 trillion infrastructure proposal.
Indeed. Later today, Biden is set to meet at the White House with a group of Republicans and Democrats to discuss the plan, which is part of a push to forge a bipartisan compromise.
Yeah, but, you know, given Republican resistance to the scope of the package, I wonder how productive this meeting will be.
Let's see. Meanwhile, there's good news on the horizon for Americans as President Biden is set to announce that all adults across the U.S. can get the COVID-19 vaccine within 2 weeks.
That's a bold claim. Let's see what that does for economic recovery. And finally, a guy who is never too far away from the headlines, former U.S. President Donald Trump.
Oh, he's back. Over the weekend, the Republican National Committee donor retreat gathered in Palm Beach, Florida, just a few miles from Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence.
Maybe they were watching the Masters together, but he did vow to help Republicans win seats in Congress in the 2022 elections. He also lashed out at top party figures.
You know what? I think you're probably pretty close to the truth.
Yeah. And then they discuss this at the same time, right?
Yes, absolutely. And how significant is all of this for the GOP? And how important will Trump be in the future of the party?
All right, let's find out more from Straits Times U.S. Bureau Chief Nirmal Ghosh. Nirmal, good Monday morning to you. Thanks for taking the time to speak with us. Let's start off with President Joe Biden's legislative ambitions. These, of course, face a crucial test in Congress this month. Key Democratic senators signaling that they want to pump the brakes on the Biden infrastructure bill and other pressing policy items.
Yeah, plus Republican leaders are beginning to mount opposition to the plans, and some have complained about a lack of meaningful outreach from Biden, who's billed himself as a bipartisan dealmaker. So could this be a make or break moment for some of his biggest initiatives?
Good morning. Well, yes and no. It is likely that some of the measures will be watered down. For example, the American Jobs Act calls for a corporate tax rate of 28%. Now, in 2017, Donald Trump had lowered it to 21%. Before that, it was way higher. So, in fact, 28% would still be the lowest rate since between World War II and 2017. But it has, of course, drawn fire from powerful industry lobbyists. So there may be some compromise on that. Now, it may seem like common sense that America needs to, one, repair and renovate physical infrastructure, and two, invest in new infrastructure. And that is not just physical. It means broadband, internet, it means healthcare, a range of things. But as we know, the country is deeply polarized and everything instantly becomes part of the so-called culture wars. The Democrats also put welfare measures into the bill, which Republicans are saying have nothing to do with infrastructure. Now, the president can push all this through the Senate using their one-vote narrow majority without waiting for a bigger majority. But he still has to carry the moderates among the Democrats with him. So yes, there will have to be some compromise. But most analysts do see the glass as half full.
Okay. Speaking of which, certainly half full or very full is the cup for Joe Biden, who is set to announce tomorrow that all adults across America will get COVID-19 vaccine shots within 2 weeks. That's sooner than expected.
Yeah, normal. The International Monetary Fund said accelerated vaccines and a flood of government stimulus spending, especially in the U.S., means it now sees global economic growth this year of 6.0%. That's up from the forecast of 5.5% in January. But, you know, if this target's reached, how much of a win will this be for the Biden administration? And I think, you know, more broadly, what does it mean for America?
It would be a big win. And the president is already quite popular. If you look at the average of the polls, he's remarkably consistent at 53.6% approval rating. A lot of that is due to this ramp up of vaccinations. So the U.S. is heading for 6% plus growth this year. And as you said, the IMF has now said global growth will be 6%. Although one has to keep in mind there remain uncertainties, and others like the World Bank just the other day said recovery in the Asia Pacific specifically will be uneven. So it's not time to be wildly optimistic, but 6% in the US does look likely. And a rebound like that will only boost President Biden's poll numbers or keep them where they are at now. And globally, of course, the US economy back in growth mode is a big engine economically and Ideologically, it is important for the US and other democracies because President Biden has been stressing the importance of demonstrating that democracies work. So the world will see the US back in business, so to speak.
Speaking of demonstrating that democracies work, the State Department announced that the Biden administration is easing limits on contacts with Taiwanese officials.
And all of this as the U.S. looks to counter what it sees as increasing encroachment by China on the island's sovereignty. Nirmal, can you share what restrictions will be eased, how this move will help restore some semblance of order to ties between the U.S. and Taiwan, and what signal this is sending to China?
Sure. So this is in line with the announcement late in the Trump administration that U.S. officials will no longer observe these restrictions. Prior to this, Taiwanese officials could not meet U.S. officials in federal government buildings, for example, part of a whole array of protocols designed to maintain the U.S.'s One China policy, to maintain the facade, so to speak, of not giving Taiwan the status of an independent country. So the Trump administration's decision to eliminate these guidelines gave the current administration an excuse to update the guidelines accordingly. But as in past practice, by the way, the actual guidelines are not being made public. This will, of course, annoy China, but it is not as if this was not seen coming. And on the matter of Taiwan specifically, more importantly, Secretary of State Tony Blinken was asked on Sunday morning here about rising tension in the Straits. And he said, and I quote, "We have a serious commitment to Taiwan being able to defend itself," unquote.
Okay, from geopolitics, Nirmal, we move to talking about the pandemic and its suspected origins in the Chinese city of Wuhan, which is cited as having led to a fresh onslaught of anti-Asian discrimination in the US.
Yeah, from March 19th, 2020 to February 28th, 2021, there were more than 3,795 hate incidents against Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders. Now, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has called racism a serious threat to public health. What is the CDC and others around the U.S. doing to address racism, Nirmal?
Well, the CDC itself wouldn't do much as its mandate is different, but we have seen special police teams being formed to take action specifically on hate incidents targeting Asians. This has happened in California and in New York, and it's had some results in New York. An undercover police officer the other day was targeted by someone in downtown Manhattan around Madison Square Gardens, and he was arrested. And they arrested a second man who was responsible for three separate attacks on Asian Americans. But this is only a part of the response. The president himself some weeks ago spoke out against anti-Asian violence, and the CDC is saying this is helpful. But this kind of racist prejudice against Asians has a long history. And while this is only the most recent wave, it is nothing new to Asian Americans and particularly Asian American women who have to deal with prejudice and objectification all the time. The high-level political rhetoric targeting China has been dialed down, but these underlying factors are still there. Sustaining the level of awareness that exists now with the focus on Asians will be a challenge.
Okay, final question for you, Nirmal. I'm back, y'all. Former President Donald Trump has spoken to Republican National Committee donors who gathered for the first time since his election defeat.
Yeah, he's pledged his commitment to the Republican Party to help it win majorities in the House and the Senate in 2022. But we're curious about some of the biggest takeaways here. Does the fact that the committee meeting took place near the Mar-a-Lago residence of Trump speak volumes as to how big a role he might play in the future?
Well, yes, it was vintage Donald Trump. He emphasized unity and so forth. But what he really emphasized was loyalty to him. He disparaged Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. He slammed former Vice President Mike Pence for not having the guts to call the election for him, which the Vice President doesn't have the power to do anyway, and all that sort of thing. And he called Dr. Anthony Fauci a fraud. Dr. Fauci, as we know, is the country's top epidemiologist. So it was all about himself. And yes, the Republican Party remains under his spell. And as long as it is politically expedient, Republicans will go along with him because he has this extremely dedicated personal power base, which can come in handy in an election. I suspect we will see a first test of this in the midterms in just under 2 years from now. We will see if the Trump brand helps or hurts Republicans then. Right now, he still owns the party.
All right, we've been speaking with Straits Times U.S. Bureau Chief Nirmal Ghosh. Nirmal, thanks again for your time. We'll catch up with you again next Monday.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.